Welcome to episode number 4 of the Ecosystem Services Market Consortium podcast. I bet you're wondering who ESMC is and what they do. I bet you're wondering why you should take time to listen to this podcast. Here is why. With carbon and environmental credits being a hot topic right now, there is a huge financial potential for agriculture. In this series of podcasts, you will learn how and why. I'm your host, Lori Boyer, and I'm joined by Debbie Reed, ESMC Executive Director. And today we will start our conversation by talking about the ESMC market program design. And a little bit later on, we will talk about the development of protocols. So Debbie, let's start off by talking about the program design.
Sure. Thanks for asking, because that's really the heart and soul of our program. So when we started thinking about whether or not we can use market mechanisms to scale beneficial outcomes from ag, we really gave a lot of thought first and did a lot of research on existing challenges in markets and looking at why they have not scaled to date for agriculture as a sector. So we literally investigated that. We investigated everything from protocols to partnerships to who is engaged in the market design and looking at tools, technologies. We did a full suite of assessment. And then based on that and the challenges that we saw, as well as the successes, we designed a market exclusive to the agricultural sector, really trying to overcome those challenges so that we could scale this program for agriculture, because we didn't want to just keep repeating the mistakes of the past. So everything we've done really in our market design is part of that. One important component was ensuring that not just agricultural producers, but the entire agricultural supply chain and value chain are part of market program and protocol program development, so that we all know what our role is in a market, because everyone needs to be involved, and how we engage and how we actually create effective markets with all of us as players and partners. So we created a public-private partnership to do that. We also realized that most every project that has been launched prior to ESMC in this space was a one-off. So the protocols were often not utilized multiple times, even though millions of dollars were spent on protocols, because they did not have everyone at the table. The quantification approaches, the infrastructure, right? All of that was new for every project that was being developed. So we realized we need an entire programmatic infrastructure that does not exist to make these programs scalable at a national level, so that we can really drop the cost. So infrastructure and programmatic investments are an incredibly important component of what we're doing. Then the other thing we looked at is, like most market programs to date, had one activity and one outcome that they were quantifying and generating credits for. Even in the carbon markets, it was often one activity and one greenhouse gas, not even all greenhouse gases. So we developed our program and designed our market and our protocol so that we look at not just carbon, but all greenhouse gases and water quality and water quantity or water use conservation and increasingly biodiversity, so that we can capture all of that in one program and then just stack back value and incentives and income back to producers as well as to buyers, right? There's no need for us to have different market programs for all of those different outcomes and elements. And then I think the last thing I would say that we have worked on is within the protocols themselves, and we've started by developing our own protocols, what are the issues such as rules that have been huge challenges that have prevented agriculture from participating at scale or from these projects at scaling? And we've tried to revise those rules and apply them in a way that works for agriculture, because these markets were designed around point sources of pollution. Agriculture is not a point source of pollution, right? Agriculture is a biological system that requires flexibility over place and over time and over producers, because we're dealing with 2 million independent actors across the United States landscape. So we recognized that the rules had to be written for agricultural biological systems, not point sources of pollution. So we did all of that in our market design to really overcome those challenges.
Is there any other organization that has all of that in their market design? Because it really sounds very thorough and almost like farmers should get a premium for having all of that in one stop shop, if you will.
That's a good observation. I would say I don't know of any other program that has ever done that. And so we were specific and really trying to do exactly that. It is why we started this effort in 2017 and we're launching our market in 2022, right? It's that all of that due diligence took time, took incredible investment, took building a whole community of members and participants to kick the tires, because what we started doing in 2019 was building that public-private partnership and testing the program, launching pilots, having everyone test every part of our program. And we've been refining it and perfecting it and improving it and scaling it through that. So I don't know of anyone else doing that sort of due diligence.
If a farmer chooses to use ESMC, then does a portion of money that they would pay in to have that service in order for them to use our carbon credits, do you make money off of that? Is that how you guys are sustainable?
No. So we're a nonprofit, and everything that we have done, our investments in the program and in the infrastructure and the protocols, we're not trying to recoup that value, and we don't need to. What we are trying to do is build that program and the infrastructure so that in the future, we are the lowest cost, highest integrity and credibility program. Because we're just trying to scale outcomes. And for us to do that, we have to engage both the buyers and the sellers in a credible program with high integrity. So we're not the first player to market for sure, right? But we will be the best player to market because of that and have what I believe will be the lowest cost but highest value proposition.
And then I'm going to assume that you have some built-in mechanisms for things that will change as we move forward and with new administrations and things that happen in the environment. There's probably a lot of moving factors that have to be thought out, right?
Yes, that's a very good observation. I would say this, it is a very busy program that we are operating. And some people would call it chaos. For us, it's not chaos because we've been very deliberate in linking all of the elements of a successful market program. But there is a lot that is changing externally that does impact our program. So when we launch in 2022, we will have the market program, and that will be static in that the protocols, the projects will be established, approved, validated, right? They will be certified. All of that will stay the same. We will have a research program where we will continue the innovation and the R&D to feed into that program. So while that we say it's static, it might be static for 3 or 5 years, right? The R&D will happen separately. Right now, it's all happening contemporaneously, right? That will be then separated. But yeah, we have clearly planned long-term viability. And the way to do that is for us to continue to innovate and invest in new tools and technologies to help drop the cost and improve the rigor and the accuracy of our outcomes.
And then you just mentioned protocols. So how does that work hand in hand as with the program design, and or is it completely separate?
It is the same. I think that's another unique thing that ESMC brings to this space. To create a program that is scalable and cost effective, we want it to look the same for a producer, whether you're in the Pacific Northwest or in the Southeast. We want you as a buyer to have the same experience, whether you're buying in the north or the south or for corn, right? Whatever your commodity or your needs are. So we have created a harmonized and scalable market. The way we have done that links the protocols and the quantification approaches so that we invest in the protocols. We ensure that they're approved by third-party bodies who do that sort of work. And we keep them updated and approved and certified, et cetera. We are investing in quantification approaches and tools and technologies that we can apply to our program. And because the protocols and thus the quantification, the verification, and the certification are all linked in that process, it brings what we believe is a ready-made solution to buyers and sellers, right? So we're trying to design it so that we do what I'd like to tell people is all the dirty work in the middle, where we have seen risk and failure creep into these projects in the past. So we believe if we do all of that and we perfect it and we make it scalable, cost-effective, we make it harmonized and standardized, we take away all the guesswork, and over time, those investment annually, every time we, you know, utilize our new quantification approach or, you know, improve on our protocols, they get better. So we're literally investing in that program, the protocols, the tools, technologies to increase the credibility, the relevance, the scientific basis of our program on an ongoing basis.
Does ESMC have a team of scientists or researchers? Like, who makes up the rest of your team that's actually putting this in place?
We have a fairly large team right now. We have 14 of us that all have different roles, like business development and membership director. We have staff who handle pilot projects and project development. We have staff who are in charge of the research aspects of it. But as a public-private partnership, we also have the value of tapping the expertise and the knowledge and the participation of all of our members across the ag supply chain and value chain, whether you're a producer or a corporate who understands like reporting requirements. We have a lot of NGOs. We have land grant universities, all as part of our infrastructure. We have four technical working groups that are populated by our members. And each technical working group has three independently selected non-affiliated scientists who advise those working groups. Those are all voluntary roles, the science advisors, right? The three science advisors per working group, and the contributions of members in those working groups. We have four technical working groups, but we have strike teams and then other working groups. We have a working group on inclusion and racial justice, for instance. All of that is voluntary participation of our members who really help to bring to life our program and different aspects of our program. So we have tapped the expertise of partners from across the ag supply chain and value chain to help build the program, test it, ensure that it works for all of our members.
Thank you. That's very impressive how many skill sets and the diversity you have that will, I think, definitely help as this thing, as this program moves forward and meeting the needs of so many different types of agriculturalists out there. I also wanted to ask you, on my note that says MRV, and I know you told me what it stood for last time we talked. I can't remember. If you could remind me of that and tell me a little bit more about the platform and how it's accessed.
Yeah. So MRV stands for Monitoring, Reporting, and Verification. I'm with you. There's so much jargon, not only in this space, but other space, but this space tends to be very jargony. The Monitoring, Reporting, and Verification, we use that term in multiple ways. Monitoring, reporting, and verification is a requirement of generating these intangible assets. We also use it to talk about our, what I call the beating heart and soul of our program, which is our platform infrastructure that we are investing in and building out, where data is ingested and stored and managed so that we can generate the actual credits. So the MRV platform, or Monitoring, Reporting, and Verification platform, is where kind of all of that happy stuff happens. The platform access is limited to only those people who need to see certain aspects of data. So producers have a portal. We have a producer portal that is kind of one interface to that program. And that's where producers can organically enter their data, or if they work with a proprietary data collection technology, whether it's, you know, John Deere or some other platform that collects data, they can port it through an API into our program. Then their data is captured for that producer and safely stored and secure. We use that data to quantify soil carbon, net greenhouse gases, water quality, water quantity. Only the people who are doing the quantification and the modeling have access to that data, and they have all kinds of data privacy restrictions around it. Then after they do the quantification, the verifiers, who are third-party verifiers with the same privacy restrictions, have access to show or to see the data and ensure that the data does exist, it meets the needs to generate a certified credit, they sign off on it, then the credits are generated. And then that data is only stored for the producer's access and utilization. We will use it to track beneficial outcomes over time, but it's, you know, very secure data. So that's the important component of that platform, is there are different lines of access. Producers can choose a technical assistance or enrollment partner who can help them enter the data, but they choose that partner, and then that partner can have access to their data and only certain parts of it. So it's a highly controlled environment, but it's literally where, you know, the magic happens. The data which generates the credit resides.
Anything else to mention on this part of our interview here today, talking about the market program design and development of protocols?
I think you hit upon everything, including the fact that, you know, things are changing, and it's an ongoing effort and part of our market design to truly keep up with changing standards, right? And all that is changing in this space. So I think you captured it all, Lori.
Debbie Reed, Executive Director of the Ecosystem Services Market Consortium. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Thank you for tuning in to the ESMC podcast. The work of the Ecosystem Services Market Consortium and further information is available online at ecosystemservicesmarket.org.